The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. While the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. The official who's mentioned here in this gospel has a name. His name is Jairus, because we heard about him in the gospel that was read on Sunday just over a week ago. Some gospels give us more details than others when telling the exact same story. And we hear today from Matthew, and a week ago we heard from Mark. And Mark not only told us the name of the official, but also told us that he wasn't just any official, but that he was a synagogue official. Now that's important, a synagogue official. You know, because at first glance, this gospel seems to be just another healing story. Jesus heals this poor girl, brings her back from the brink. That's the kind of thing Jesus does. We just kind of come to expect it. But what's interesting really, and the real drama here in this story, is that synagogue officials like Jairus were among Jesus' most determined, most bitter enemies. But even Jesus' enemies come to Jesus begging for help when they need it. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert? One of the temptations was that the devil came to Jesus and said, "All the kingdoms of the world have been given to me, and I give them to whomever I wish." It comes to pass in our lives that we notice that those who have power in this world often make themselves God's enemies. We shouldn't be surprised at this. We should actually come to expect it. Whether it's people in political power, or whether it's leaders in entertainment or leaders in education, basically the powerful people of the world very often make themselves into the enemies of Jesus. And, you know, it's partly because if they bend the knee and acknowledge the power of God, it limits their own power and importance. And so this culture of secularism and a culture of turning against God has always been in place among those who are in power, even if it's just local officials like this guy here in the gospel. But notice, when they suffer personally, they know exactly where to turn for help. Even if they live their lives in something of a cowardly fashion, denying the truth of Jesus Christ and the power of God as if to protect their own perks, when they suffer personally, they know how to come to the water. And the important thing to remember here, and this is really the most important message here, is that nobody is beyond redemption. This poor man turns to Jesus at this hour, and notice, Jesus doesn't hesitate. Gets right up to help him. Jesus, who once said, "Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you," doesn't hesitate for a moment to help this man who had made himself his enemy. And very often, after we commit sins and turn away from God, we think in our minds that God is far from us. And that's never true. God is never far from us, no matter what we've done. That is an illusion. All of God's help is perfectly available to every single person at every moment, and all they have to do is ask. Very important thing to remember. Because sometimes it's the sufferings in life that bring us to our knees and bring us to our senses. This girl's illness was a blessing in disguise, because without it, this man would never have turned to Jesus. Because sometimes it's only by sufferings and it's only by hammer blows that we ever turn to God. And at one point or another in our lives, that's true for all of us. So what I'd like to do here this morning, I'd like to tell you a tiny little story about our saint for the day, St. Elizabeth of Portugal. She's got an inspiring life because she's someone who came to God by hammer blows, by terrible sufferings. Elizabeth of Portugal was a Spanish princess who lived in the 13th century, and she was engaged to be married to the King of Portugal. And it sounds just like a fairy tale, doesn't it? But it was. She had a very, very hard life, because the man she was called to marry was a scallywag, a serial adulterer who was never faithful to her. Elizabeth of Portugal, patron saint of troubled marriages and of victims of adultery. Something to remember. And Elizabeth could have turned to so many things as a consequence of her husband's infidelity. She had plenty of opportunities to commit adultery herself. She could have had her pick of all the men in the country. She could have turned to gossip. She could have turned inward. She could have turned to alcohol. She could have turned to pouring herself into the affairs of state and just simply made the excuse that she doesn't have enough time, to as much time as she wishes to spend with her husband. But she didn't do that. She used her hardships to turn to God. She turned to prayer. She turned to penance. She turned to service of the poor and to making the peace of her home her number one priority. And she spent years persevering in this, using God's blessings to everyone's spiritual advantage. Her two sons rebelled against mom and dad. You know, very often when parents rebel against their children, rebel against their parents, they'll do something like get an obnoxious haircut, right? Or a body piercing or something like that. But Elizabeth's kids started a civil war, right? You thought your kids had troubles. She went out into the battlefield herself and personally stopped the fighting. But the important thing is that one day, Elizabeth's husband fell victim to a terminal illness. And he knew he was going to die. And Elizabeth immediately placed herself at his service, caring for him, nursing him with compassion, with tenderness, with forgiveness, without a single word of bitterness for all the years of hardship that he had caused her. And it melted his heart. And he begged her for forgiveness, which she graciously gave. Tears welling up in her eyes as he asked to see the priest and be forgiven of all of his sins. And he died in God's grace. And soon after that, Elizabeth herself died as well. And she teaches us the lesson that sometimes we need to focus more on what God is doing to us through our hardships than on asking God to have those hardships swiftly removed from our lives. A little something to remember. God is always at work. We may do well to focus more on looking at the good that God is doing through our hardships than in begging God would swiftly remove those hardships from our lives as we persevere in his service and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. St. Elizabeth of Portugal, pray for us.